Now, tomorrow is the day that boxing fans have been looking forward to for months. 40-year-old Floyd Mayweather, an undefeated boxer, will fight 29-year-old Conor McGregor, who is a mixed martial arts fighter.
As many fighters do in combat sports, the two have built up hype around their fight in the media, which includes some public trash talk. But most sports draw the line somewhere. So far, neither athlete has faced consequences for the often sexist, homophobic, and even racist statements they've made in press conferences.
Here's a bit of one of the few radio-appropriate exchanges we could find from a press conference last month.
How's he look now, though? His face is drooping to the left.
It feels so good to be at the top and never lose. You know what it's like to taste defeat.
Our next guest says that we should expect more from the athletes we pay money to see, including ones in combat sports.
Sarah Spain is a Chicago-based host and reporter for ESPN. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Happy to be here.
Well, can you describe some of the language and back-and-forth statements that both of these, well, boxers and a sort of boxer have been making in a way that we could actually hear on the radio?
Yes, that's the tough part. You know, it's really just evolved past the usual expected trash talk. And we all, anyone who's covered or watched boxing in any capacity or MMA, understands that those pre-fight press conferences are intended to stir up this rivalry, to make you think that they really hate each other and that they're going to go out there with as much animus as possible. I mean, that's pretty much to be expected. But they really got away from the average stuff and got super deep into misogynist terms, racist, ethnic slurs, homophobia. It just became something where if they felt like their grasp of the audience or the tenor of the crowd had been lost to them, they would dive deeper and uglier. And it really stooped to a level that I think we haven't seen much of. Now, there's some historical examples of times when race has sort of been trafficked in a way to sort of spur up excitement about a fight. But I think this really devolved because of the number of press conferences in such a short time and the very obvious nature of them sort of reaching for the next thing that would incite the crowd in a way that was kind of unrelated to the fight or unrelated to a relationship that they actually have together.
And you've been comparing and contrasting, you know, if this happened in 2017 in one of the major league sports in the country, what kind of reaction do you think we'd see?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we know that most of the major professional men's sports have policies in place to protect against homophobic slurs, racist slurs. There are fines, there are suspensions, and that's within the context of competition, right? That's when they're actually playing in the heat of the moment, not some premeditated and choreographed press conference that's intended to drive publicity. So if you saw, say, Tom Brady and, you know, some opponent of his during a Super Bowl press conference using these words, it would be the biggest story in sports, and nobody would make excuses for it. So to me, it just feels as though we're allowing these athletes to be professional in the sense that they're allowed to make literally hundreds of millions of dollars for this fight and be propped up as the pillar of their sports. And then at the same time, we're making excuses for them as if they're some sort of, you know, illogical non-humans that are unable to control themselves. They are very meditated and premeditated in what they're saying. And I think we're picking and choosing when we expect to hold them to some sort of standard in ways that we never do with other sports.
So what is it about boxing that we lower, our, I guess, throw away our standards?
I mean, of course, a lot of it is due to the vulgarity of the sport itself, right? The violence. And because it is hand-to-hand combat, you create this sense of looking for a heel and a hero, looking for a villain, and we want to validate the barbarism of the sport itself by downgrading the quality of person that would compete in it, which I think is unfair to the athletes and also is to completely ignore that these are not the gladiators of the past who are enslaved or who are fighting for their lives. These men are going to leave this fight with hundreds of million dollars in their pocket and go back to mansions and fleets of cars and live the lifestyle that is just like all of us, or not, well, not like all of us. I don't go home to a mansion and fleets of cars. But, you know, they are regular human beings who in these moments we then allow to suddenly be barbaric in ways that I think we really only do for this sport.
Looking at Floyd Mayweather in particular, apart from the language, he, as you're right, has had three convictions for domestic abuse against women and not really any sign of remorse or accountability after all of that. How does that factor into all of this?
Well, that's another fascinating point, is that for all they've said to each other and for all the, you know, base things that they've brought up, that has somehow been missing. And there's also a point in one of the pressers where it looks like Conor McGregor touches his head and Floyd says, "You're not allowed to touch me." And so there are these rules that are in place, right? We can fight, we can yell, we can use any slur we want. You can't bring up my domestic violence past, we can't touch each other. And that helps give you a cue that this is completely theatrical, right? And that's what makes it, I think, even worse, that this is something that they've chosen to use to promote themselves. And Floyd Mayweather, listen, to me, I think the Nevada State Gaming Commission has proven it's all about money, in that he's never once been suspended, despite being jailed and, as you mentioned, convicted multiple times, despite having a record that spans now 14-plus years of abuse in various types. And those three convictions happened over several incidents, many incidents that he managed to avoid any legal issues, you know, any legal ramifications for. And he is tends to victim blame. He never takes accountability. He always says that if anything had happened, there would be pictures or video. And yet there were pictures that were mysteriously taken and disposed of by the Nevada police. So this is somebody who has managed to coast through a sport that has never really regulated his behavior outside the ring.
We're talking to Sarah Spain from ESPN about this weekend's much-hyped boxing match between Floyd Mayweather, a boxer, and Conor McGregor from the mixed martial arts world. Let's talk about this hype machine in a boxing match with one guy who doesn't box. He's not a boxer.
Yeah.
Why has this gotten such hype?
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. I think a lot of people realize that they're sort of being duped. They know it's a circus. They know it's a sham. They know it's one-sided. They can almost guarantee, unless some miracle occurs, that it's going to be an easy win for Floyd Mayweather. He's 49-0 in his career against actual boxers, right? Now he's older. He's 40 years old. He's probably lost a step. But he's still fighting a guy who's never boxed in his life. So we know it's going to be sort of a circus show, and that as much of the excitement about it is for this pre-fight prep. It's for Conor McGregor's trash talk ability and the kind of hype machine that he's created around himself. But when it gets to the fight itself, I think most agree it's going to be pretty boring, as often Mayweather's fights are. He's a tactician. He doesn't really knock people out. He's not known for the big hits. He's known for the tiny punches over time that will slowly beat them down. And he'll usually take it the length of the fight and win by decision, which isn't that exciting. Now, that might not happen with McGregor. He may leave himself wide open to a knockout because he doesn't have the strategy. But to me, it feels interesting how many are willing to plop down their money and time to watch something that has no stake. There's no belt at stake. There's no real legacy. If Mayweather loses, everyone will be able to spin it as a 40-year-old who came out of retirement for a cash grab. And if McGregor loses, everyone will say, that's what we thought all along. He was wholly unqualified. So they both enter this with really nothing to lose and hundreds of million dollars to gain. And any fan who watches is not only, I believe, complicit in supporting the base and crass sort of behavior that we've seen leading up to it, but also in directly putting money in the pockets of Floyd Mayweather. Because unlike other sports, when you buy a pay-per-view, a percentage of each of that person who pays, a percentage of their money goes straight to Floyd Mayweather, who, as you mentioned, has a sordid history of being an abuser of women.
So your recommendation for sports fans is don't view, don't pay to view, find another way to spend your sports dollars?
Yes, I will actually be taking a helicopter flight around Chicago. That is a random thing that just happens to be going on during the fight. But in the past, during Mayweather fights, I've actually gone out to dinner and then donated to a domestic violence charity instead of spending that money on the fight. Not everyone is going to do that. A lot of people don't combine their morality with their sports. I think we should care what we're being entertained by. And also, I think it's going to be incredibly boring and exactly as you expect it to be. So you can wait for it to be over, and you can watch the 10-second clip 1,000 times over and over again on YouTube and never give your money to them.
On the wider issue of what we expect from athletes in sports, we had, of course, Baltimore Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis, involved in a murder trial, a horrible incident. welcomed back in the NFL ultimately with open arms. People raved about his performance after his comeback. Kobe Bryant coming back to basketball after sexual assault allegations. There are issues in other sports. Should we be looking at those more seriously too?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm of the opinion that the fact that, listen, sports are essentially a meritocracy. For the most part, if you can help a team, they will try to find a way to spin it to allow your return. Now, there are very extreme examples where that won't be the case, but we've seen over and over again, whether it's, domestic abuse, whether it's like Ray Lewis, who is allegedly involved in that murder, Michael Vick murdering dogs. We've seen a million examples of teams willing to welcome back players that will help the cause, and then fans who have more allegiance to their team and the team's success than they do to any sort of morality. We can continue to push for it, and I think more and more we care. You know, back in the day, the private lives and crimes of those outside the sports world were sort of left alone, even if reporters knew about them. That's not the case these days. We certainly have better policies in place for things like sexual assault, domestic violence, criminal behavior, code of conduct policies, where you have to represent the team and the league better. But the conversations need to continue because we do this across all entertainment, right? Films, music. If there are people who are deeply flawed in criminal ways, if they entertain us enough, we try to use any means necessary to spin it to welcome them back. And that's not to say that people don't deserve second chances, but as I mentioned with Floyd, if recidivism is likely because you've never expressed any desire to change, then we shouldn't accept a second chance without having proved that you desire to change. And that's, I think, the biggest step for a lot of the leagues now is requiring treatment, requiring transparency in terms of why a person might be different than the person who committed the crime that originally got them suspended or caught or whatever.
Sarah, briefly, as we wrap up, what's a fan to do if they support a team, a pro team, a college team, they want to support it, you know, to the grave, basically, they want to stick with it, and there is this bad apple, and there's this continuing, you know, excuse for bad behavior. What is a fan in that situation supposed to do?
Well, it's different for everybody. I know certainly some people just decide that they can't support the team anymore. I went through this with the Chicago Cubs when they traded for Aldis Chapman, and I think you put pressure on the team to be as transparent as possible about why they believe this person is deserving of a chance, what they're doing to ensure that recidivism won't occur, and how they're being proactive in making sure that they treat the signing of the player with respect and their fans with respect in terms of asking them to cheer for this person. I made the choice to never cheer for that specific player but continued to cheer for my team, but I understand that each person is going to handle it differently.
Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Spain is a Chicago-based host and reporter for ESPN. She joined us ahead of the highly anticipated fight between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor tomorrow and talked about whether we should expect better conduct from athletes.
Coming up after the news, we'll talk about a recent review of national monuments and the conflict over federal land ownership in the western United States. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.